It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, Kim Munson. That's MONSON.com. There's all kinds of great information there, as well as recaps and podcasts of the shows. And so there's a lot of great information. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly email newsletter also. And go over to Facebook. A lot of great information there, and we'd appreciate it if you would give us a like. Very important show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Chris Cantwell, Trans World Business Advisors, during this first segment. Go through some headlines. There's some astonishing things that are going on out there that you need to have on your radar. And then we'll be talking with Lisa Bennett in the third and fourth segment. She's a longtime business owner and a part-time resident up in Eagle, Rio Blanco, and Moffat counties in northwest Colorado. We're going to be talking about this gray wolf issue, and so that's going to be an important conversation as well. And always want to say thank you to the team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and all the great folks at Crawford Broadcasting. Producer Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Partly cloudy.
Partly cloudy. You know what? It's cold out there this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
12 degrees this morning.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. I mean, in the moisture and all that, yeah, I that part I get, that spring, that happens, but the extreme temperatures, that's got me baffled. Two nights in a row, we've broken the low temperature record.
How's that global warming working out for you?
Yeah, okay. Good segue.
I planted pansies just because they're such a hardy little flower, and I'm not sure they're going to make it through this. But anyway, I have my fingers crossed. We'll see. Also, thank you to each of you listeners. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Be productive. Be industrious. Read things that are inspirational. You know, Steve, there's a lot of darkness out there, and there's a lot of stuff going around on the internet. I mean, there's something that I'm very concerned about, most certainly. But I really would encourage people to read things that bring light to the issues and stay away from darkness right now, because there's an awful lot of darkness out there, Steve.
Yeah, coming in the hour that I do, KLZ plays the Pledge of Allegiance at 4, and as they were stepping through it, I thought, where it says one nation under God, I'm thinking maybe that, well, I'm not advocating any changes, but it's almost sometime like it's two nations under God, three nations under God, two nations with no God. I don't know. It's the darkness is there. There's no doubt.
And it always has been, though, from each generation, Steve. Our quote for today is from William Wilberforce, and he was our focus for our Headlines for Hope, which is something that we started as we began going through this COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption. And there's always been darkness. And I think one of the really cool things was, as my understanding is that attendance at church, if you will, was up on online church on Easter. And it's times like these that I think people take a gut check on, you know, who they are. Why are we here? What is our purpose? And it always brings us back to, you know, I think the foundations of this particular country, America, which is so unique. So a couple of things. First of all, Rudyard Kipling, we found this quote. And, you know, people tend to hear the word expert or hear science, and all of a sudden there's no questions that are asked. And that is not a good idea. We need to be asking questions. And again, Rudyard Kipling lived at the beginning of the early 1900s. He said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So as we are watching the experts and science, and this is just good for your whole life, is to use those words to always be curious and try to search for truth. And that's very important. And we're looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. We are seeing all these people that have advocated that socialism is so good for everybody. Man, they've got a little power here, and they are off to the races. And another listener said, maybe we don't say freedom versus force. Maybe we say freedom versus fear. And I thought that was a very important thought as well, Steve. Okay. I guess we'll just leave that there.
I got to get Chris. Chris is calling in, and, you know, you do that to me all the time. And I basically slammed down the phone and say, got to go, Chris.
So we'll get to here and just get to Chris Cantwell in just a moment. Okay, William Wilberforce is our quote for today. He was born in 1759 to a wealthy family. His father died when Wilberforce was 9 years old, and he inherited the family fortune. He was educated at Cambridge University and at the age of 21 was elected to Parliament. Wilberforce served in Britain's House of Commons for 45 years. William Pitt, who was elected British Prime Minister at the age of 24, was Wilberforce's close friend. He made it his life's work to abolish the British slave trade. And this is what he said. He said, if you love someone who is ruining his or her life because of faulty thinking, and you don't do anything about it because you are afraid of what others might think, it would seem that rather than being loving, you are in fact being heartless. Steve, that was said many, many years ago. Amazing, huh?
Every one of these quotes you bring to light or bring forward are like that. Hey, can I let you off the hook on something? You know, yesterday we had a little issue getting the podcast laid in properly because maybe you missed. I've been thinking back to when the movie, about 14 years ago, the movie Amazing Grace came out. All his close people close to him called him Wilbur or Wilby, at least in the movie.
That's right.
So when you called him Wilbur Wilberforce, you weren't really far off the mark.
Well, and for all you listeners out there, we were recording headlines for Hope, and I called him Wilbur Wilberforce, and I must be because of the, thank you, must be because of the movie. And then as I was working on the quote, I realized it was William Wilberforce, so we had to go back and redo that because we do always try to get things correct. But I bet that's where that came from. Steve, thank you. I greatly appreciate that.
Well, it's what I think of when I'm driving down I-25.
The funnies for today just cracked me up. When the COVID-17 Wuhan virus, or with the COVID-17 Wuhan virus disruption, education is getting very interesting. I just saw my neighbor out in the driveway scraping the "My child is an amazing student" at the local elementary school bumper sticker off of her car. There's a lot of closeness going on out there. So let's get over to Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim and Steve.
So opportunity, it is quite a disruption out there, but during these times, there's always great opportunity. So what's going on in your world?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Kim. And first and foremost, I hope all those current small business owners out there are already talking with their bankers, getting the information they need about the CARES Act, the Paycheck Protection Program known as the PPP. Everybody should be looking into that if you've got employees. If you're an independent contractor, the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans, or what you should be looking at. The PPP links with the banks have been up for about a week now. The banks have been flooded. The SBA put this program together in under a week's time, and it's the banks trying to coordinate on their end how to get people through this process. I've been hearing from some clients, it sounds like some folks are waiting in the virtual queue to get their applications in. Many business owners have gotten their applications in, and I'm starting to hear from other business owners that their applications have been approved. So now they're just waiting on funding, which should happen, I believe, either this week or next week. It depends on how your bank is processing the funds. The SBA has put the money out there. The banks just need to work through their systems And they've been flooded. I've talked to several SBA banker friends that I know, and they're just doing everything they can to keep up and to get the money to the people. For the independent contractors out there, the EIDL loans, those just opened up on Friday last week. So I think those are really still being processed and the system's being set up and organized there. So if you haven't talked to your banker yet, please do so. If you're having issues with your bank and not able to get the answers that you need, there are some other banks that are working with non-clients of theirs. If you need to know who those banks are, feel free to give me a call at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or my contact information is on Kim's site, and you can email me. And, so that's my message to those current business owners. If you know somebody that's been laid off and they're wondering about buying a business and how they're going to be able to do that and what kind of opportunities are out there, one of the other programs in the CARES Act is a six-month waived SBA business loan process, or I guess it's a situation that they put together, a program to help people out. So if you fund on an SBA business loan before September 27th of this year, the first 6 months are waived. Not deferred, they're actually waived. So those payments are not going on the back end of the loan. The SBA is going to make those payments for you. You'll have 6 months of building up some working capital on a business that you buy before you make your first payment on it, which is phenomenal. So if you know somebody that's been laid off, or you've been laid off, or you want to get out of your corporate job and go be an entrepreneur, there's programs like that. The suspension on any fees, if you borrow from your 401k to purchase a business, you won't pay any penalties on that. So there's a lot of things that are happening on the buyer side, which will be good for both buyers and sellers, Kim.
Wow. So that's quite an opportunity for people that may have thought, I want to get out of the corporate world and buy my own business. So that's amazing. One other thing you mentioned that I think is really important. I was on a call with a number of women last night, and they said that there are some banks that have already been maxed out on these, I think it's the payroll protection program. And they did mention that there's some other banks there. And so I just heard you say that if people give you a call, you might be able to suggest some places where they could go if their bank is already maxed out on that, correct?
Yes. Yep. I'd be happy to help with that. You can call me or email me, whatever's easiest for you.
Okay. And again, what is the best way for people to reach you, Chris Cantwell?
Yep. You can call me at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or email me. My contact information is on Kim's website at kimmonson.com.
Okay. Well, there's always opportunity, you know, and I think fear can sometimes paralyze people. But if you step back, you remain calm, and you realize that there is opportunity during these disruptions, it can actually change your life to the positive. Even though it seems, you know, scary right now, there's always opportunity. And Chris Cantwell, you are an eternal optimist. And I mean, you're realistic about things, but you're always looking at opportunity. And that's why you're so good at your business.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. And thanks for fighting the good fight. And if you've got a business owner out there that needs some guidance, feel free to reach out to me.
Okay. Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. We'll try to talk to you again with you next week.
Sounds good, Kim. Thank you.
Have a great day. Before we go to break, you know, this is just such a crazy time. And when Mayor Hancock closed bars and restaurants in Denver for 8 weeks, and then Governor Polis came in with his edict, and of course we had unelected bureaucrats that were closing down business as well, like Tri-County Health, it's made it really difficult for our bars and our restaurants and our taverns. And so I know everybody's trying to help out to order food to go, and I'd highly recommend to include Hooters restaurants in your repertoire there. They have this great website, order.hooters.com. You can order your food. You can drop by. They'll bring it out to the curbside, and you can take it home. They're great sponsors of mine for both of my shows, and really would appreciate if you would show your appreciation by stopping by and picking up dinner one of these evenings. So we're going to go to break. When we come back, Steve and I have some headlines that we need to go through. You need to have these things on your radar. It is astonishing what's going on. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com and go over to Facebook. We put a lot of great information out there as well, and we'd appreciate it if you'd like that. Before we get into these headlines, a couple of things. We are doing our first salon series. We rescheduled it because of the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption. And that is our salon series. It's Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. It's with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentiss. And that will be June 22nd at Water's Edge Winery. And as we are moving through this and then going into the election cycle in November, we're kicking the tires on what socialism looks like. And the problem with socialism is ultimately you run out of other people's money. And certainly concerned about the printing of money that we have going on. However, it's so difficult. Government has shut down businesses, and now government is printing money to try to help those businesses. Ultimately, there's no way we can print enough money to come out of this. We need to move back to our foundational principles of property rights and free and fair markets and the right of contract, the right for people to be able to come to an agreement on something and have government stay out of it. And Steve, Denver City Council did something very interesting within the last few days. And this is from Colorado Politics. And it says, in response to mass unemployment caused by the novel coronavirus outbreak, the Denver City Council on Monday night is expected to pass a proclamation calling on Governor Jared Polis to cancel rent and mortgage payments for residents who are currently unable to pay. Now, Patty had mentioned here, she says, I wonder if they practice social distancing at that meeting with masks, and are they asking for cancellation, not delay? The council did vote in favor of the proclamation and calling on Governor Polis to cancel rent, mortgage payment, and mortgage payments during this particular crisis. So there's a lot of questions here. Is the Denver City Council meeting, and can the first question is can residents attend? Because if you have in America government that is meeting where citizens cannot be there to see what's going on, that is antithetical to the American idea, Steve.
Well, it makes me think of my first thought. I mean, you're talking obviously of a state and a city issue here that's being debated, being worked out, but in terms of the public being allowed to know what's going on, I was thinking of the closed door sessions in the basement of the Capitol back in January, which was kind of to me the ultimate a slam against transparency and openness. But you're right, they're about to do it again, whether they realize they're slipping into this mode or not. Surely they know it, and I don't know. There's just so many things going on. It's probably indicative of what we're going through collectively. There's so many things going on that I come up with. I'm not sure where I stand on these things. And this is another one right here.
Okay, well, I'm going to work to try to help you through on this then, okay?
All right, do it.
So in America, one of the important things is the right of contract. And that is an agreement that two different entities will agree on the value of something. So it might be the value of work. So an employer says that this is the job that I need to have done, and I am willing to pay X for that. And that may include some benefits, you know, variety of things. And the employee can say, I want a job and I will agree to work for that. Or the employee may say, I feel that I bring more to the table and can bring more value to you. And so I'm going to ask for more money. Now, we've seen that government has got totally involved in that, in, you know, with the forced minimum wage. They're talking about this forced family paid leave, all kinds of things like that, where government is getting in there and trying to get in between that right of contract, where one party says, this is what I have to offer. The other says, this is what I would do or pay for that. So now we're getting into the right of contract. There are people, I know a number of people that is their livelihood. They've gone out and they have purchased rental properties. And many times the rents for that may pay for the mortgage and then also cash flow for people to live. They have made that investment. They have taken that risk. And they have rented to people. And the renters come in. They have said, I've looked at this property. I think that this property is worth what you are asking for me to pay rent, and for the privilege of getting to rent your particular property, I will pay you X. Now, granted, we are in a unique situation where cash flow has been stopped. I mean, we look at all these restaurant and bar employees that many of them were furloughed or immediately let go. And it is a difficult situation. But government should not be getting involved in between that contract between the two people. If someone is in a difficult situation with their rents, I would highly recommend, or with their mortgages, to contact their landlord or their mortgage holder and talk with them about that, because people understand that we're in a very unique situation. But for government to come in and say via governmental edict that you don't have to pay something that you promised to do, you came to an agreement with on your mortgage or on your rent, you came to an agreement and you said that you would do everything absolutely possible to make sure that is paid. And then if it's not, you need to talk with them, but you don't have a right to that property. It's really concerning that you've got the Denver City Council, who's probably, if they're meeting virtually, that's got to be highly illegal. And if they're not meeting virtually, then they're not following these distancing guidelines. And then they are coming in, and just think what that does to somebody's balance sheet that has gone out and purchased these rental properties. And they have a mortgage to pay, they've got bills to pay, and if government comes in and just very flippantly says people don't have to pay their rent, there is a lot of people that won't pay their rent. So, Steve, your thoughts after I make that case?
The agreement that you first spoke of, I guess, was drawn up in a particular set of boundaries, and the assumption is that the renter, you know, has the means to pay that rent. And now, you know, the game changes, or the game comes to a screeching halt. And again, I don't know where I stand on this. It makes sense. Everything you just said makes all the sense in the world.
Well, and I mean, I remember when I first was young and was starting to rent, if in fact I couldn't make the rent on my own, I had roommates. And so people need to get creative, and people will get creative to figure out how to make this happen. But one of the first things would be is to reach out to your landlord or your mortgage company if you're having trouble, and try to come up with a way that you'll be able to pay in the future. But just to say that you no longer have to pay because government has done this is a very dangerous road to go down.
It is.
And I think what you might see in the future is then landlords and mortgage companies will be much more careful about who they rent to. I mean, your word has to be worth something. And, I think that there's folks that no longer realize, well, that goes to the next thing, and that is that we used to live with our word with a handshake. And apparently, Dr. Fauci said that we may not be able to ever shake hands again. And what kind of society is that? Because over all these years, many times your handshake was your word. And if we are so afraid that we can't even shake hands in a society, then fear is certainly winning out. They always say after, maybe you go to church, you've shaken a bunch of hands, just be sure and wash your hands. But this thought that we can never shake hands again, I think it's pretty scary what they're saying out there. So let's prepare to go to break. Jason McBride is on the line. Jason McBride, are you going to shake hands after we get out of this whole thing?
Yeah, with anybody that's willing to shake with me.
I tell you, to say that we may never shake hands again as the human race, it's astonishing, some of these headlines out there, Jason. I can't believe it.
Well, Melissa and I were talking about this the other day, and I think there will be some folks who will change the way they do things forever because of this. And I think you'll see people, here and there wearing masks and gloves every time they go to the grocery store or out in public or whatever, and it's kind of a shame. But, I wouldn't think it'll be really widespread, Kim. But I do think there will be some folks that will, change the way they behave forever and ever and ever because of this.
Well, that's probably true.
I think it's a very small minority, but that's fortunate.
Well, there may be some people that may have a compromised immune system or something like that, and I understand that. But Steve had actually sent over a quote. Now, I'm going to hopefully try to remember it because I don't have it right here on my computer, that quarantine is when you restrict the movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. And so as we're coming through this, Jason, it's going to be interesting when we look in the rearview mirror just to see what has happened. So what about the markets? What's going on with that?
Well, yesterday we had a minor down day, Kim. The Dow was down about 328. I'll tell you, the volume was very, very low, even compared to the volume we had on Thursday, which was a day going into a long weekend. So, I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see bigger volume on the up days and lower volume on the down days. And this morning, at least for now, Kim, the futures are pointing higher, up about 300 and some. It's an hour till we open, and a lot could change. But mm-hmm. at least at this point, it's pointing towards a positive opening. And again, Kim, we've talked, and I think the action on the market has been constructive going all the way back to St. Patrick's Day. I wouldn't be shocked if we have hit the bottom here and don't go back to it again. The buyers seem to be back in there, and I think short of some type of unexpected thing happening, I think there's a good chance we don't go back down there, and we may be on the mend and trying to head back towards the old highs, maybe not right this minute, but again, I'm not convinced that we have to go all the way back down to the lows again, and there are a lot of people that think we're going to.
Okay. Jason, what's your thoughts about getting the economy back open? Do you think that that's going to happen pretty quick, or what's your crystal ball say to you?
Absolutely, especially after listening to President Trump's and the doctor's press conference yesterday. I think that message was loud and clear that at least parts and certain areas of the country, he wants to get them reopened quickly, and I think those areas of the country agree. So, I think we'll see things reopened sooner rather than later.
You know, I heard Grover Norquist yesterday say that actually the recovery may be a little bit delayed because with this payroll protection program, that it's actually going to encourage people to not go back to work as soon because some people will be making more money with that than going back to work. And so he indicated that he thinks it'll maybe be in July after we get through all this where we'll really start to see the economy get going. Have you thought about that at all, Jason?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I guess from a twisted perspective, you know, if these folks are getting more money to spend for not working than they were getting when they were working, that might not be good for the jobless numbers, but, you know, technically, wouldn't it be better for the economy?
Well, maybe. I'll have to try on that one.
I mean, you know, if somebody before had X amount of dollars to go and buy goods and services and spend, and now they've got a greater amount of dollars, actually, you know, that's kind of putting more money into businesses and that type of thing. I don't think it's good to have unemployment and the government printing that money on the other side of the coin, but morally either, but from just a pure number standpoint, it's interesting to think about.
Okay, well, I'm going to chaw on that. We'll talk about all this again tomorrow morning. And if people want some help, I mean, you realize how important working with a professional is when you get into these times. And so if people need some help, I'd highly recommend that they contact you and the guys and gals over at Presidential Wealth Management. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Or we have that great landing page together as well, Jason. That's airpresidential.com. So if people need some help, I'd suggest that they reach out to you.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Now, Kim, I'm going to be with you for the whole basically second half of the show tomorrow. It's my, quote, in-studio appearance from home. And you and I talked and thought it might be fun if the listeners kind of emailed you questions about individual stocks they were wondering about. Hey, what do you think about this one? Does this one look good? You know, we'll pick maybe three or four tomorrow and go over the charts and the numbers and the earnings and all that, right?
Most definitely. I'm going to put my first one out there. I'd like to know about Walmart. So let's put that one out there, and then we'll try to go over three others. You can email me at kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com, and we'll go over some of those stocks. So, Jason, looking forward to it. And, yes, it's going to be virtual in studio tomorrow. Maybe next month we'll get to be in the studio together. So hopefully that will work out.
Well, that sounds great. And, Kim, just real quick, the stocks you send in, don't send, like, penny stocks and that type of thing. I can't, you know, analyze those. It's got to be something that's real that trades on, like, the New York or the NASDAQ. Doesn't have to be a big company or well-known. It just has to kind of be real and trade on an established exchange.
Okay, so keep those cards and letters coming to kim@kimmunson.com. Jason, looking forward to talking with you again tomorrow.
All right, Kim, bye-bye.
Have a great day. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Lisa Bennett, she's a longtime business owner and part-time resident up in Northwest Colorado. We're going to be talking about this gray wolf issue. Stay tuned.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com. And be sure to, if you have a stock that you would like Jason McBride to take a look at that we can talk about tomorrow, be sure and email me there. On the line with me is Lisa Bennett. We're going to be talking about this gray wolf issue. And Lisa Bennett is a longtime business owner and part-time resident in Eagle, Rio Blanco, and Moffat counties in northwest Colorado. For over a dozen years, she has operated Wild Skies Cabin Rentals with three different locations in northwest Colorado. She's known as the Maven of Mustangs and must-see in Moffat County. She has worked in the legal and marketing departments of Fortune 100 companies, but found her true passion working in the outdoors of northwest Colorado. However, it is her training as both an undergraduate from Northwestern University with a degree in political science and her MBA in marketing from Kellogg that gets her going when it comes to political issues and researching the ramifications, or as Lisa puts it, the unintended consequences and real-world application of political issues that emanate from emotionally charged issues. So, Lisa Bennett, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And as my listeners already probably know, we are going to have a ballot measure this November in Colorado asking voters to decide whether the wolf, the gray wolf, should be reintroduced to Colorado. So, Lisa, I wanted to have you on the show to tell us a little bit about this ballot measure from your perspective, since you live in northwest Colorado, and where we presume the bulk of the wolf reintroduction will occur.
Oh, great. I'd like to start by saying that we could spend hours debating the ins and outs of this issue, but we don't seem to have time for that. So I'm going to focus on what I think is important, and that's going to be to delve into which groups are pushing this, who put this on the ballot, and why.
Well, do you think they're really trying to help with conservation issues, or is there something more sinister afoot?
Well, wolf proponents claim that deer and elk overgraze on certain types of forage, and that in turn can ruin streams and riverbanks. They also say that if they return the wolf to the ecosystem, that the ecosystem would be more in balance. So, in other words, they will cut down on the herd animals such as antelope, elk, and deer, and that in turn will allow vegetation to grow back and kind of put everything back in balance. But when you look at some of the wildlife and wolf experts out there, take Arthur Middleton from UC Berkeley, who's an assistant professor of wildlife management and policy, they say that that's not really true. There actually haven't been studies that prove that. It sounds good, but no one has actually put it to the test directly. Although there was a study in Yellowstone about a dozen years after the wolves were reintroduced there, where they looked at specific types of aspen trees that elk and deer like to eat. And they determined that, and of course, since the wolves were reintroduced, that brought down the herd numbers of elk and deer, but they determined that that species of aspen was still in decline, despite the fact that the number of elk and deer had dramatically dropped with the wolf reintroduction. So there's lots of research that questions whether this balance will actually improve species of vegetation and other animals that maybe are on the decline because of larger herd numbers.
Well, if the ballot measure to reintroduce the wolf here in Colorado passes, what will be the cost to Colorado?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at costs. Some of those costs are borne directly by ranchers and hunters and outfitters. Ranchers in particular already operate on razor-thin margins, sometimes as low as just 1% to 2%. So if wolves are living on the same lands that ranchers have grazing rights, this puts pressure on the cattle or sheep or whatever livestock are grazing there. And because of that, and when I say pressure, I'm talking about predator pressure. Those animals tend to then become more anxious They tend to not eat as much because they have to have their heads up to look for predators versus down to graze. And they also tend to go to areas that are higher and hillier where the vegetation's not necessarily as great as the flat open meadow areas. So as a result, they end up coming off these ranges with a lot less weight than they would normally have had if there were no predators there. And as most people know, the cattle are sold by weight. So the lighter they are, the less money ranchers are making. In fact, in 2009, Oregon State University and the Agricultural Research Service conducted a wolf cattle introduction study. And what they determined is looking at what the cattle did before wolves were around, and then after with wolves that were collared so that they could track their whereabouts, is they determined that out of a herd of 450 cattle and 12 tracked wolves, so they only tracked a couple wolves out of each pack, they determined that there were over 783 encounters between the wolves and the cattle. And what encounters are is that the wolves are right there among the cattle. Doesn't necessarily mean that they've been attacked. And with all of those encounters, you ended up with a lot of nervous cattle that ended up becoming or acting more like predators than prey themselves. So then when you had a whole bunch of ranchers out there or their dogs trying to herd them off the lands, instead of obeying and coming in, they ended up attacking the ranchers, they ended up attacking the dogs, and making it a lot more difficult for the ranchers to do their jobs.
Wow. So it was 783 cattle, and they were not all killed, but these encounters, how can that be that bad?
Well, for over 100 years, herding dogs, as I mentioned, have been used in cattle operations basically to cut down on labor costs, so you didn't have to have so many cowboys in the saddle going off after the cattle. And those dogs are expensive working dogs. They could be $5,000 plus for each dog. And there's a lot of time going into training those dogs to herd up the livestock. But those dogs sometimes get killed. Those dogs obviously are from the canine family. Sort of the, you know, Canis is the family for the wolves. They're cousins, so to speak. And so they're viewed as predators. And that really impacts how much it costs a rancher. Because if he's got to pay a cowboy on a horse to go out there, that could cost anywhere from $100 to $150 a day per cowboy when their $5,000 dog is sitting idle. It's kind of like having an employee that's sitting on long-term coffee break and not doing its job, but you still have to pay to have them on duty. In addition to that, you end up with a lot of livestock, mostly the cows, which are the females, that are too nervous to end up getting pregnant and having calves. They might lose their calf. They might not get pregnant to begin with. And in ranching business, you make money when you've got calves that you can grow into the next generation of cows. So you have a certain amount you can sell, a certain amount will be next year's product. And with that happening, you've got a lot of issues where the cow is not productive. So once again, it's like having an employee that's not producing the product or service that you need, but you still have to pay to feed it and take care of it. Additionally, you end up with a lot of elk that are pressured by the wolves as well, or deer, and they find a lot of times that those private ranches are the safe haven. Plus, free food. It's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And a full-grown elk can eat 21 pounds of feed per day. And the cost to a rancher is about $8 per hay bale. And then, of course, whatever is lost from the pasture that's eaten up by those herd animals, as far as the elk and the deer. So you multiply all those little factors together, and you're talking about a big bite out of the rancher's budget.
Well, and like you said earlier, they're on such razor-thin margins, so you can see how this starts to affect them. But then that also, Lisa, affects at the grocery store. You know, we've taken, I think, for granted when we would go to the grocery store and the shelves would be full, the meat, you know, the meat counter would be full. We've taken that for granted. And when you start to mess around with these margins, I think that can actually have some consequences there as well.
Most definitely. And I think what you're going to find, and we'll get to this maybe a little bit later in our conversation, is that the environmental groups behind all of these initiatives, not just the Wolf Initiative, but closing coal mines and power plants. They're after how to increase the cost so that their alternatives, what they prefer to have us pursue, aren't as expensive any longer. In the old days, it used to be that electricity was really cheap through coal power plants, but with all the regulations they implemented through both federal and state-level legislatures, it's costing the power plants so much more that the price has gone up, and we as consumers end up paying for it, whether it's the beef on our plate or the electricity bill we have to pay at the end of the month.
Now, that's fascinating. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, one of the questions is, we had just mentioned about the razor-thin margins, and if a cow is killed by a wolf that's been reintroduced, I'd like you to tell our listeners what happens with that. So this is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Lisa Bennett. She has Wild Skies Cabins, which is up in northwest Colorado. We're talking about the gray wolf issue that's going to be on the ballot this November. We will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Water's Edge Winery and Bistro is celebrating 5 years in business and is now open Tuesday through Sunday, 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Located near the northwest corner of Arapahoe and University, they are offering to-go food and wine to keep you fed and happy. Call 720-381-6663 to place our curbside to-go order, or stop in and grab your bottles and lunch or dinner. That's 720-381-6663, or follow Water's Edge Winery and Bistro Centennial on Facebook or Instagram for updates and specials.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm thrilled to be talking with Lisa Bennett. She is the owner of Wild Skies Cabins up in northwest Colorado. And Lisa, this subject of the gray wolves being reintroduced, that's going to be on the ballot this November, who's going to pay for this? It seems like, because the gray wolf is a predator, and clearly they're going to start to attack some of the cows in the cattle herd. Who's going to pay for all of this, Lisa Bennett?
Well, in addition to the ranchers bearing a big part of it, you're talking about the state of Colorado, because this is not the federal government wanting to reintroduce the wolf. This is a state-level ballot measure. That means the state's going to be responsible for paying for it. And unfortunately, it's not as simple as a lot of people think. You know, there are sometimes reimbursement compensation funds in different states to help the ranchers offset the loss of their livestock. But there are a lot of stipulations to that. And you don't get reimbursed when your cows lose weight and you aren't selling the normal weight of a cow in the fall. You don't get compensated when elk herds are eating the hay intended for that cattle. You don't get compensated when your cattle doesn't get pregnant and you're going to have to feed it for another year or two before it does. There's a lot of factors, the cost of more cowboys to round up all of your cattle. All of that goes into their bottom line. But really what is important to understand, too, is that you have to have a body to get reimbursed. No carcass, no refund. And you have to remember that these animals are grazing in heavily wooded areas, deep mountainous terrain. It's not Kansas we're talking about. And at that point, you've got a lot of paperwork You have to wait till a Division of Wildlife agent goes out and actually confirms that it was a wolf kill. And by the time they get out there, although it may have been a wolf kill, if a bear or a mountain lion or a other predator scavenges off that body, it can't be determined beyond a shadow of a doubt that a wolf did it, and that means no reimbursement. But going back to the state of Colorado having to pay, you've got a lot of issues there. Right now we're suffering with reduced revenues from this COVID and increased costs from this coronavirus. And as a result, you're looking at huge budget cuts because the sales tax revenue that the state is trying to collect isn't going to match the bills that they have to pay. So we're looking at cuts, I don't know where, but it could be to education, it could be to fire or police protection, it could be in lots of different areas. And this is not anything that's getting funded by outside groups as far as once it's implemented. Only the ballot measure got funded, and over $1 million of it by out-of-state interest.
Well, I have to say, particularly with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption, that when I go to the grocery store and I see, beef, and I love beef, hamburger, you know, the roast, all those things that I think that people have kind of taken all of this for granted. And so we need to really be cautious on things that are going to affect that food supply. But we have maybe just a few more minutes. Who is behind this? You had alluded to kind of a strategy that has been used in other industries as well, Lisa Bennett. So who is behind this?
Well, I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to tell you that it's anti-ranching groups that have placed this on the ballot, and one of them is the Western Watersheds Project. They are affiliated with a lot of wolf reintroduction groups. And they are the ones that helped gather the funding to get this ballot measure put on. And they are as anti-ranching as you possibly could get, which in my opinion is anti-American and anti-consumerism, because it should be up to you and I to decide whether we want to support ranchers, whether we want to purchase meat or not. It shouldn't be up to someone else to increase the cost so that these ranchers go out of business and then we don't end up with our meat, or that the cost of meat goes so high we can't afford it. And although the Watersheds Project and they do their work through the Rocky Mountain Wolf Project both sound like nice organizations, believe me, they choose their names carefully. They want to elicit positive emotional responses. And what better fundraiser than the wolf, who makes a great poster child, so to speak. Beautiful animal. Strong emotions are conveyed through the image of a wolf. Freedom, strength, and it kind of makes you think of the Wild West, and who wouldn't want to preserve an icon like that?
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody up in Wyoming, and she said that she saw a couple of wolves walking just along the side of the road, and she said they were huge. I mean, they are big animals, and they're predators. And another question on this is I had heard, Lisa, that the gray wolf or the wolves not only kill for food but also kill for sport. Is that true?
For sport and also for education, to teach their young how to hunt. And that's the reason why a lot of times the animal, it doesn't even have visible marks. So like your cow could look like it died of natural causes, not a spot of blood on it. But cows have really long fur, and you actually have to skin the animal to look underneath at the muscle tissue to see the bite marks that are there. It's kind of like when you get a bruise but you don't bleed. There's a lot of damage going on underneath that skin, but because of the fur on the animals, you can't necessarily see it.
Now, and Lisa, I realize that this really is going to be an issue. Now, and as you mentioned, it's anti-ranching, it's anti-grazing, anti-meat, and those are all things that are part of the Western fabric as well. And I was downtown here in the metro area. It was up, what do they call it? It's Lohi, I think. Anyway, it was up near Kuros Field. And on the side of one of the buildings, there was a big mural of a gray wolf. and it said something along the line of love the wolf. And I realized at that point, and that was at the end of last year, that this is going to be a very important ballot issue. And so why does that matter so much, Lisa Bennett?
Lots of reasons. One, especially now with COVID, our state can't afford to do this. The wolves will come here naturally on their own. We don't need to pay to have them reintroduced. But I think more specifically, you're looking at groups that don't want any use of federal land. When I say any use, they don't want snowmobilers there. They don't want hunters there. They don't want ranchers there. They want it only for the wildlife. And it always amazed me at where do they get their money and how do they, why do they want this to happen? Why are they so against people trying to make a living and the economy to be strong? And I learned through this research project that a lot of them get their money by suing the federal government. We hear about all these environmental lawsuits, but what we don't know is that there's actually a way for them to sue the federal government and get reimbursed for all of their legal costs, which when you do the research, some of them are making about $415 to $720 an hour in legal fee reimbursements by sucking the government dry through all of these lawsuits. And the watershed, the Western Watershed Project, is the number one group that does that. They sue because it works, and that's how they get their fundraising. In addition to basically exploiting the wolf as a great poster child to get regular people who really care about the animal to donate to them.
Wow. Okay, this is a very important issue. Lisa Bennett, let's continue this conversation throughout as we get up to election time. And this is Lisa Bennett. She's with wildskies.com. Be sure and check that out. Lisa, thank you so much.
I appreciate that. And the one thing I would say to people is it's really important to learn what you're voting on. And this is an issue where you really need to vote no.
Vote no, that's for sure. And we'll continue the conversation. Lisa, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, and our quote for today is from William Wilberforce. He says, "Let it not be said that I was silent when they needed me." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.